1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And 51551 is our text number. John Scanlon. John, good afternoon.
How are you, Joe?
Good. We were talking yesterday about the Jehovah's Witnesses, as they're known. We had a phone call from someone who left the organisation, and he had some quite disturbing things to say about the group. There's about, I think there's 9 million in the world, about 6,000 in Ireland. The key beliefs of a member of Jehovah's Witnesses is a literal interpretation of the Bible and reliance on 1st century principles to set practice, policy and procedure. Millenarianism, or the belief that the end of the world is imminent. Male headship, or the belief in a strict patriarchal authority structure involving obedience and submission in both the organisation and the family. Maintaining a separateness from and exercising caution in associating with those who are not members of the organisation, and the importance of door-to-door preaching or evangelising, which is something a lot of people here would be conscious of, because, and they're normally extraordinarily courteous and they knock on your hall door. John, what's your experience and relationship with Jehovah's Witness?
Around 20 years ago or so, with a friend of mine he came in to me one day and he says, you know what? He says, we're all going to live forever on paradise on earth and we're never going to die. And I says, what are you talking about? So he invited me up to the Kingdom Hall. At that stage, it was up in Jamestown Road in Tringlis.
Yeah.
So I went up and the stuff I was hearing there, I couldn't believe it. He was saying that Jesus wasn't who we all thought he was, that he was an angel. And by the way, he wasn't crucified on the cross. He was crucified on a pole, a stake.
Mm-hmm.
So I was walking down Bachelor's Walk one day and I went into a holy shop there. It was called the Irish Church Missions. There's a fella there by the name of Noel Dean, and he does this thing called a cult department. He gives you information on all different groups. So he gave me some literature and I tried to read it. I know, not great on religion. And I went to Dennis and I gave him some facts and figures. But he says, hold on, wait till I get you the answer to these questions. Right. He went back to the Kingdom Hall and the elder said, keep away from him. He's of Satan. He's of the world. You can keep away from your family and friends from now on. And don't listen to people. Listen to us. Now, if you ask a Jehovah's Witness a question that you can't answer on the spot, they always say, we'll come back to you. But they don't. And you can never tell a Jehovah's Witness anything. Because you know everything, obviously. Because their line is, we're here to minister to you. You don't minister to us.
And John, did you know people who were members?
Oh, yes.
Are they still there?
I'd have to say, one is that they're moving up to Rockgar. And I don't know where the other fella is gone.
Okay, now you sent us in this booklet that was referred to yesterday. I thought it was a secret booklet. What's it called again?
The Shepherd the Flock.
Yeah, okay, Shepherd the Flock. And it's their guidelines for how to deal with issues that arise. This is a book, I presume, specifically for elders and probably primarily for members of the judicial authority.
Yeah, well, your normal JW would not know about this book.
Okay.
Even elder's wife, like that man said yesterday, They're not allowed to read it. But I found a copy online. There's a great website called JW Facts.
Jehovah's Witness Facts, okay.
No, just JW Facts. You'll find tons of stuff there. It's stuff that people just don't know. And they are lovely people, Jehovah's Witnesses. The law abiding, it's just that you have to abide by these rules.
Okay, well, go to, because this was raised yesterday about paedophilia and child abuse. On child abuse, if you have it handy there. It says, on child abuse, you should immediately call the branch office for direction if you learn of an accusation of child abuse, regardless of the age of the victim now or at the time of the alleged abuse, even if it occurred before the alleged perpetrator's baptism. The branch office will then give direction based on the circumstances involved in each situation. Child abuse is a crime. They admit that. Never suggest to anyone that they should not report an allegation of child abuse to the police or other authorities. In other words, that seems to be referring, someone comes up to you and as a member of the JW organisation, the Jehovah's Witness organisation, I want to report an allegation of child abuse to the police. You don't contradict them. However, they then go on to say, if you are asked, make it clear that whether to report the matter to the authorities or not is a personal decision for each individual to make, and there are no congregation sanctions for either decision. And this is based, this is a, then there's a reference from the Bible. Now that seems to be ambivalent at least, because child abuse allegations should be immediately, no ifs, no buts, no second guessing, should be immediately reported to the Gardaí.
Oh, that's true, yeah. But Joe, you know, there's a governing body member who was brought to court in Australia, and he even said that in the Australian Royal Commission. But yeah, it didn't even hit mainstream media or nothing. Nobody was talking about it. Even in Galway last year, in the Business Post, they did a thing about honest Jehovah's Witnesses who actually did go to the police. But yet the big shots from England went over to Ireland, and they deleted them from their office.
What do you mean, deleted them from their office?
Well, that's their way of saying you're sacked, you're demoted, you're just out of office.
Now, also, Joe alleged yesterday that this judicial committee of elders deals with people who have been accused of paedophilia, and he says what he is aware of is that they move paedophilia... people who've been accused of paedophilia is probably the best way to put it. They moved them to other congregations without informing the other congregation why they've been moved into a different group, so to speak.
Yeah, that's true, but they've sort of shifted a bit at that in the moment. They say now that a letter will follow you as an introduction to your new congregation. But the elders there will know that there's a paedo coming in, but the congregation won't know.
Okay, let me bring in Gerard. 51551. Stay there, John Scanlon.
Okay.
Who's in the UK at the moment. Gerard, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Just to finish up on, when you finished your broadcast yesterday on the witness subject, you said you'd like to hear from any witnesses also. Well, I guarantee you not one witness in good standing will ring you out of fear of being eliminated or excommunicated, because they will lose their family.
Well, you were born into the Jehovah Witness organization, so to speak.
I was born in, yes.
Your father?
My father was the first convert, one of the first converts in Ireland.
And are you a member now?
No, I am not a member now. I got out over the blood issue in 1984 when I realised they were telling lies about the blood issue. For example, Joe, a haemophiliac who may be a Jehovah's Witness, and there would be thousands of them that are haemophiliacs, take a product called Factor 8.
Yeah, of course.
Now,
yeah.
Factor 8, to make one dose of Factor 8, you need 2,500 units of blood to make one unit of Factor 8.
Okay.
Now, all Jehovah's Witnesses take this, and are allowed to take this. Now, what hypocrisy is that? They used to ban transplants, cornea transplants, lung transplants, liver transplants, but now it's a matter of conscience. But what about all the people who have died? Like, they publicised an Awake magazine with victims of the photographs of children on them who gave their lives for God by refusing blood. Now,
so give me, Jared, come back to your own story. Were you a member?
Yes.
Okay. How
I
long
was a ministerial servant. I was a ministerial servant. That was a step down from being an elder.
Okay. For many years were you ministerial?
Eight
many years were you a member of Jehovah's Witness?
Eight years.
And what age were you when you left?
28.
And why did you leave?
Over the blood issue, John.
Okay, as you explained. So why? What was the reaction of your father, if he was alive, or were other members of your family in the Jehovah's Witness organization?
Well, fortunately for me, two of my other brothers got out with me. But I have one brother, family member, still in there with his family. And I sent him an email, Joe, but if you didn't mind me reading the email, I sent it to him last night.
Okay, yeah, okay.
You are trapped. Dear Noel, you are trapped. No matter what you say to me or think you have answered me in the Bible, of its own is the truth. The Bible on its own is the truth. I'm a bit nervous, John.
Take your time, yeah.
I know how you feel, believe it or not. You have wasted over 40 years of your life as an indoctrinated member of the organisation who you cannot question for fear of punishment. Four excellers in Dublin were met today, and we are vermin, all of them lovers of Jehovah, and have recently discovered their mediator, Jesus. So Jesus even isn't their mediator. Where you have been taught to deny him and accept eight men in Warwick as your mediator, i.e. hanging on the skirt of a Jew. And then it goes on, why you ask, am I tormenting you? Well, I am not, as I love you as my brother, who you have disowned, not by your conscience, but a faithful slave, eight men you personally do not know, and you are in fear of your life of. Ask them to explain. I give them a scripture. No, you would not dare. Blah, blah, blah. And his answer to me this morning was, and the subject line was, Joe Duffy today. And here's his answer, Joe. Another one talking about you. Another one making up things to suit his own purpose on Joe Duffy. I know him personally and what his motivation is.
Well, that's not me. That's not me he's talking about. It's a caller yesterday, isn't it? Called Joseph.
Just
Joseph, yeah.
Ignoring what the Bible says, Jared, your written speech is filled with hatred, not love, no respect for my requests. Get a life. Now, he's supposed to be a follower of Christ.
And your brothers?
My brother, fleshly brother, yes. He wouldn't come to my wedding last September. This is how this all started with me again. I left him a voicemail to keep a certain date available for my wedding.
Okay.
And I got him and he said, I wouldn't go to your wedding. You're a he. And he actually called my wife.
Yeah, okay, this is all. I can't go on what you're saying. He said, but we get the tenor of your relationship. Yeah. Unfortunately, at the moment, how would you describe the Jehovah Witness organization?
A cult.
What is
that? Most people that's in don't know they're in a cult. I have nothing against the ordinary Jehovah's Witnesses. The Jehovah Witness that people see is that God's knocking on their door and on the church are lovely, innocent people. It's their organisation. It's the governing body. Once they listen, Joe, I have this in print in their own publication. You must believe the governing body, unless even if it makes sense or not. Now, come on.
Were you aware of any allegations of sexual impropriety in the organisation? And if
no,
so,
I wasn't.
But there has been, as you say, an Australian Royal Commission.
Well, just Google the Australian Royal Commission.
Yeah, I have it here in front of me.
Yeah. Oh, there's over 1,000 cases there.
1,006 cases not reported to the police. And last year, Joe, the office of the headquarters in Belgium and the headquarters in Netherlands were raided by the authorities. Now, presently today, the Independent Commission on Child Sex Abuse in the UK have damned them, and they're doing an investigation on them at the moment. Independent Commission on Child Sexual Abuse.
Yeah, John Scanlon, you want to come back in there?
Yeah, I was just saying to you, and there's a lot going on in Russia as well at the moment. You know, the head offices used to be in Brooklyn, New York.
Yes, I know that.
They sold all that, and that was worth billions, right? Most of that was handed back out in compensation. All over the world, they're closing their kingdom halls. They're selling them off for compensation. And there's one court case still going on in America since 2006 or something, where the Watchtower was asked to give some information. And they said, we'll get it back to you. So the judge said, we'll fine you $4,000 a day for each day you delay. And they can afford to pay this 4,000 rather than settle the claim.
Okay, now remember, those claims and that whole narrative there of selling land and is a narrative that applies to the Roman Catholic Church and indeed other churches as well across the world about compensation. But the difference, John, the difference I want to focus in on, because we now know, we presume it's happening mainly through the good offices of Diarmaid Martin, that if there is any allegation of child abuse, for example, in the Catholic Church, they are immediately obliged, they are immediately mandated to go and contact the police. Whereas these words from this guidebook of instructions from the elders says it is a decision for each individual to make, you whether to go to the police or not, and there are no congregation sanctions for either decision.
Should that be said? And if the fella who was accused denies the matter, you say, that's the end of the matter, we'll leave it in Jehovah's hands. Why bother the police with this little issue?
And then the victim or the alleged victim has to give his or her evidence in front of two elders then, isn't that correct?
Oh, yeah, but then the abuse started needs two witnesses.
Okay, sorry, John, who was coming back in there? Gerard?
Can you imagine a six-year-old child that's been abused, right, by a father or whatever it is, or a grandfather, or one of the members of the congregation, a six-year-old. We'll take a six-year-old. What fella is going to abuse a child with a witness? So the six-year-old child must come up with a witness.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Okay, Gerard, have you got faith now?
Of course I have faith, Joe.
And is it denominational? Like what denomination?
No, it's not denomination.
It's a general faith. Okay. Let me bring in Dr. Don McNamara, 51551. Don, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I think I'm drifting away from the territory you're in, actually. Yeah. I was listening to your program earlier there, and I was reminded of a time I'm a retired doctor, and I was at that time, and I think it was about 1976. I was a senior health officer in the Midlands. And one Sunday morning, a very bad road traffic accident was brought into us. Two females and two males. One of the females was very seriously injured. We made a diagnosis of a ruptured spleen, which is about the most serious internal hemorrhage you can get a car crash. So we took her better into hospital, into the theatre, group and cross-matched her, and had the blood organised to be brought down. And during the course of the operation, word was sent in to us that we were not to proceed and give any transfusion to this young woman because it had come to be in the faith. So we're in a bit of a dilemma, and someone actually proceeded with the operation. And the only way you can deal with ruptured spleen is to tie it off and to remove it and to totally replace the blood, which we did.
Blood transfusion, in other words.
Blood transfusion. So we contacted the coroner and see what sort of legal ground we were on. But by that stage, by the time I got out from the theatre, I was approached by two of her brethren. I'd say brethren in loose terminology. I don't know what relation, if any, to they were. But they spoke of her as being their sister.
Okay.
And that I had absolutely no authority whatever to authorise her or to give participate in giving the young lady a transfusion. So this put me in a bit of a dilemma. I mean, I didn't know what I was going to ensue from it legally. I didn't really care. But I went in to see the young woman later, and the extraordinary thing about an operation such as a splenectomy is you recover completely or you don't at all. So I went in to talk to the woman, and I asked her how she was feeling. But she wasn't overjoyed to see me. And there was all sort of gratitude or anything like that. I wasn't expecting any. But then we got around and started talking about what kind of her hang-up was. And I said, well, do you feel disappointed in the sense that what happened to you that you see? She said, well, no, not really. But the sin is yours. It's yours to carry. I'm still carrying the sin.
You're carrying the gift of saving lives, Don. Can I ask you if that woman did not have that operation and that blood transfusion, would she have died?
Oh, absolutely. She'd only minutes to live. She'd only maybe half an hour to live as it was.
And Gerard, did you say, to tell you what it's on, Gerard, did you say there was a story of a blood transfusion in your family?
Yes, that, my first one.
And they needed, that child needed a blood transfusion?
Yes, and I refused to go down on my bended knees and pray to Jehovah for the strength I had to do with one of my brothers. And then my elder brother came in, John, and he explained to me, because I want the child to live.
Yeah.
I said, of course I did. Did you know I love you? I wouldn't hurt you. I won't be able to explain this to you at the moment. He said, but I think we have it wrong on blood. Give the child the benefit of the doubt. And today, 30-odd years later, Joe, I wouldn't be able to live it myself if I hadn't changed my mind. Because, well, I know about them now.
Yeah. And have they full? Is there full-time staff in the Jehovah Witness organisation in Ireland?
All volunteers. By the way, I worked on that. I worked on the construction of the Jamestown headquarters at the time, Jamestown Road, famous, believe it or not.
What happens if you do go to the police when you become aware of child sexual abuse allegations?
You'll be disfellowshipped.
Yeah.
There was two guys in, I think there was two guys in Dublin, I can't mention the congregation, like 2 years ago, that went to the police, and the branch office in London sent over three heavies. Now, when I say heavies, mental heavies, sort out that congregation and sort out those two elders and deleted them as elders.
Because they, you say you
went to the police.
Went to the police, yeah. And Dr. McNamara, Don, when these two brethren appeared and said you were wrong to give our sister a blood transfusion, even though it saved her life, did they say we will strike? Anyway, we will bring down a course on you, or we'll
go. More or less, it was quite antagonistic. It was quite confrontational. They made it absolutely clear to me that I had no blood relationship to the lady, and they had some sort of relationship. But I was trying to make out, were they implying that they had some blood relationship, because they were talking about their sister, no, they hadn't. They just said, we are our next of kin. And I said, well, I don't know where that stands legally, and kind of left it at that. So other than they were very confrontational and very sort of antagonistic, and they were quite perverted. Yeah, just this year as a disbeliever, I was quite happy to leave it at that, but it didn't. I was just wondering where it would follow on legally, but it didn't go anywhere.
They would have been part of the hospital liaison committee. That's what they're known as, Joe. And basically, them men that would have been formed are in the hospital liaison committee. They still have them today. Have no qualifications whatsoever in medical practices or anything. Most of them are ordinary individuals with ordinary jobs. Lots of them window cleaners, etc. Because higher education is frowned upon.
Just to correct you, maybe I gave you the wrong impression. No, these two people who confronted me were the other two people in the car. There were two gentlemen, two men who were in. And it was two men that confronted me at the theatre.
So they survived the car crash?
They survived the car crash, yeah.
But they were willing, they were saying you were wrong for saving the life of someone in the same car crash as us.
Just like, yeah.
We're grand.
Yeah.
But you'd let the other person die. Okay.
Quite an astonishing
thing. Stay with us, Gerard. We've had a communication from your brother, and I'll give you that after the break.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Dear Joe, this is from your brother Noel, Noel May, Gerard. As a Jehovah's Witness, I absolutely refute the comments made by Joseph yesterday on how we deal with paedophiles. We expel practicing paedophiles from our congregation and never move one to anywhere. We do not in any way cover it up, and we obey the law to the letter in reporting any cases. We also fully support any member who is a victim and who wants to report an accusation to the authorities. That is our policy. What role or position within the organisation does your brother Noel have, are you aware at the moment, Gerard?
I'm aware as an elder, and that's what they call theocratic warfare, okay?
Mm-hmm.
he is lying and he doesn't realize.
No, don't use that word. No, he's communicating as he believes is true. So just say say what you believe.
Okay, but in the shepherding the flock of God book, which you seem to have a copy there, read chapter 14.
I don't have a full copy in front of me now. Tell me what's in it.
I can send you a full copy of that.
Yeah, but what does it tell me?
Well, it tells you that you're not to go to the police. You're to go to the elders. You're to go to the elders first. So you ring the branch committee and say, hey, listen, we have this fellow that's abusing a child. What are we to do? Oh, well, has he got two witnesses? Have you got two witnesses? Set up a judicial committee. If he hasn't got two witnesses, if there's no two, if he doesn't admit it, and he hasn't, and the victim, the six-year-old child, now come back to the six-year-old child, hasn't got another witness, leave it in God's hands.
In other words, don't progress it.
Correct.
And definitely don't... definitely don't go to the... Sorry, it doesn't... Again, to be clear, that line is the line. Whether or not to report the matter... This is under the heading child abuse. Whether or not to report the matter to the authorities or not is a personal decision for each individual to make, and that there are no congregations for sanctions for either decision. In other words, if you report or if you don't report. Elders will not criticise...
Yeah, then it goes on to say, if the authorities require you to report it, some countries it's not a requirement
to
report it.
It's not mandatory reporting,
Not mandatory, and this is how they get around it. This is all double speak, and the six-year-old children are being abused for the rest of it. Some of these children, Cantus County, the case that chap spoke about a couple of years ago, $35 million was awarded against them. There's a secret file of 23,000 known paedophiles that they will not give up to the authorities. And there's like a $66 million class suit at the moment in Canada going on.
Yeah.
All people have to do is Google this. But they're told they cannot use Google. They're not to look at anything, only JW.org, their own website.
Okay. By the way, was your father alive when you left?
No, he was dead. My father died in 1968.
And how do you understand your father being one of the first members of the Jehovah's Witness organisation in Ireland?
Okay. What do Jehovah's Witnesses do? They answer most of your basic questions from your Bible. And they give people... They capture the vulnerable. They seek out the vulnerable. Do you know they leave pamphlets on people's graves?
Mm-hmm.
They seek out the vulnerable. So when I became one thing I couldn't understand really, or didn't really believe, was the blood issue. But because they had answered all my other questions, I put it on the back boil. Oh, but he must be right. You know, and then I was studying with somebody at the time, and I wouldn't actually study the blood issue with him because I couldn't. I got someone else to do it with him.
Okay. What do the pamphlets? What do the pamphlets say that they put on graves?
You know, about the resurrection, living on paradise earth. You have a hope.
But would they believe that the end of the world is imminent? No,
imminent. They're false prophets. They said it was 1874, 1914, 1918, 1925, 1975, by the year 2000. Now they have an overlapping generation. Jesus spoke about in this generation, the end would come. Now they have a teaching that it's an overlapping generation.
Okay.
But Jerry, what
do you say to people who say, well, all religion is bunkum?
The Bible isn't bunkum. The Bible itself is not bunkum.
Well, what the Jehovah Witnesses say, we rely on a literal interpretation of the Bible.
But they have their own Bible, Joe. They distorted scripture.
Okay. Joe, we've extended an invitation to Noel to come on, your brother.
Well, he's very brave if he does.
But you said you love him.
I do love him.
And what would you like to say to him?
I love him.
Because I suspect he's listening because he indicated that he... Well, he spoke.
I love him with all my heart and all my soul. And so does my other brothers. Love him with all my heart and all my soul. But he prays every day that I will die, because I will have, might have a chance of a resurrection. But as far as he's concerned, he's taught me and his two brothers and this, every non-believer are vermin.
And then I don't want too much personal detail, but
this is a prologue
to my next question. In terms of, does Noel have family? Do you refer to your family? Like, do the cousins know each other? Do you follow me? Do your children know?
No. They're not allowed to associate with non-believers.
Good God. That wasn't it.
I'll give you an example. Yeah. They are a hermetically sealed organisation.
Mm-hmm.
They're worse than the... I wouldn't say they're worse than the Scientologists, but they're on that par.
And how are they funded?
Donations.
From who?
Do you want to see the children? Do you make children make little saving boxes? The children, rather than buy an ice cream, give it to them.
Okay. Can they go to the movies or watch...
You're not allowed to go to any movies. That's you couldn't go to a horror movie. You couldn't go to a movie that had fornication in it or love scenes in it. You couldn't go to a movie with war movies in it. You can't do anything.
Okay. Jared, do they have charitable status in Ireland, do you know?
Yes, they do.
Oh, do they?
They would not give a loaf of bread to the homeless.
Well, sorry, how does that follow on from my question about do they have charitable status?
Yes, they have charitable status. Yes, they do.
Do they have a mission of social justice to...
No mission of social justice.
And you say they don't give anything to the homeless. Is that a policy or...?
They give nothing to the homeless. Nothing to any charity. They don't build hospitals. They don't build schools. They don't do anything. And they're a billion. Listen, most people don't. They're pacifists, okay?
Okay.
Yet the governing body, the corporations of Jehovah's Witnesses have shares in Lockheed Martin, in cigarette companies, in alcohol companies, in Boeing, all warmongering corporations. They have shares in it. I have proof of all this. The Henrietta J. Riley Trust. The Henrietta J. Riley Trust is owned by the Watchtower.
Okay, which is the organisation, yeah.
Yeah.
Are they banned in any country?
Russia. Russia, Singapore, and I think of a couple of other countries.
Now, Russia isn't much of a benchmark. Now, Putin's Russia isn't much of a benchmark.
Well, they're banned there for extremism.
Yeah. Okay, Jared, thanks indeed. And continuing to hold out that offer to your brother Noel to come on, Dr. Don McNamara and John Scanlon, 51551, joe@rt.ie, 51551. And Noel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And you contacted us earlier and your name was mentioned earlier because you want to begin by refuting what was said yesterday by Joseph, who was a former member of the Jehovah Witnesses. Tell us.
Well, no, it was basically relating to the point he made that Jehovah's Witnesses, and he left it as if Jehovah's Witnesses would move a paedophile, somebody that was known to be a paedophile, from one congregation to another.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely, completely untrue. Indeed, if somebody is a practicing paedophile, they would be excommunicated or disfellowshipped, as we would refer to it, from the congregation. And that's what actually happens. Now, if somebody is a practicing paedophile, they are not acceptable in the congregation of Jehovah's Witnesses. So for somebody who was a Jehovah's Witness to say in hearsay, oh, I know of somebody that was moved because they were a paedophile to another congregation, is absolutely categorically untrue.
And then if a member or child member of a Jehovah's Witness organization makes an allegation against another member of the Jehovah's Witnesses, what happens?
Well, what actually would happen is the guardian of that child would be helped, if they want to report it to the police. Now, at this point in time, because the law states that if you hear of an accusation, whether it's provable or not, you're obliged to report it to the police, that is what we would do. Now, if you look back 20 years ago, that wasn't the law. Actually, if you look back 3 or 4 years ago, that wasn't the law. Because the law viewed that ministers hearing confessions of sins were not obliged to report those confessions. But we would help and support the guardian of that child, if they so desired, to report it. And indeed, help them in every way that they possibly could be helped to report it.
But the piece, maybe...
That has been my experience, not that it's come across it a lot, but in the number of times over the last 30-odd years that I've come across it, that has been what's happened.
And this sentence in the Shepherd, what's called Shepherding the Flock, is that what this document is called? Under child?
That's a book that's distributed to elders, and there's about 200,000 in circulation, besides it being electronically available.
So under child abuse, is this up-to-date and accurate? It says, if you're asked, make it clear that whether to report the matter to the authorities or not is a personal decision for each individual to make, and there are no congregation sanctions for either decision.
Absolutely. So if say,
but it's not a personal dispute. That has to be reported to the Gardaí, no?
That's true. Now it does, but years ago that wasn't the case, and it was up to the individual.
Well,
let me just answer this. The context of that was, if an adult is reporting that I was abused.
Okay, the line seems to have gone. We'll get it back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Noel May is an elder in the Jehovah's Witness organisation, and he's responding to points made about the organisation, critical points made about the organisation, including from members of your own family. Isn't that correct, Noel?
I don't know what you're talking about from my own family.
Well, your brother, Gerard.
Well, I was dealing with what was discussed yesterday. I don't know what you're talking about there.
Okay. So this point, you're saying this point is now outdated, that it is clear that whether to report the matter to the authorities or not is a personal decision.
Remember, that is because adults have the right, of course, to make a decision whether they want something to go to court or not, or go to the authorities, whether it goes to court is up to the authorities.
And they
would make that decision whether they want to or not.
And they'd make the decision based on what, Noel? Would they interview their desire?
Well,
I'll give you an example.
So let's say somebody wanted to report it because they felt that they wanted to talk about somebody, and often, as you know, child abuse is something that festers for years before somebody will report it. In the vast majority of cases, that's exactly what happens. So when somebody is an adult, they may feel, I don't want to have the law involved, but I want the brothers and the sisters in the congregation to be aware of this accusation that I've made. And they may not want to go to the law about it. That would be their decision as adults. But if they decide they want to go to the law, we would absolutely support them in doing so.
If they decide.
Now, today, because of the law that came in a few years ago here, if I'm told this, I have to say to the person, well, now, I'm actually under obligation now, whether you want to or not, for me to actually report this to the police.
So why was your prologue there full of ifs or buts?
Because in all of these circumstances, individuals as adults have to make their minds up one way or the other.
But you're saying that doesn't arise because it's mandatory.
It doesn't arise now, but it wasn't mandatory a few years ago.
But it is mandatory now.
And absolutely.
So you're saying this line in Shepherding the Flock has been deleted, has it?
No, because remember, that's actually distributed in 200 countries around the world. But the instruction we would have, which I sent you the latest information on that, would be where the law requires it, we would absolutely adhere to the letter of the law.
Yeah, okay. Noel, your brother Gerard was on earlier. He would like to talk to you. Would you talk to him?
Well, my brother Gerard speaks in expletives.
Well, not on this program either.
Well,
let me put it to you another way, Noel.
The answer is that's private, and I don't want to discuss that.
Okay. Would you be willing to listen to him?
I don't want to discuss what my brother Gerard has to say or do on air.
Okay, I'm not asking you to discuss
it. If I'd have known this was the question, I wouldn't have come on, quite frankly.
Do you want to tell me why?
That's a personal, private matter between us and the family.
But as a follower of the Bible,
I don't believe it's something that should be spoken about on the air. It's a personal, private matter.
Yeah, but he was making very serious points about the organisation.
I don't know what points he's making. Well, I have an idea of what points he'd be making, because he's always making it. He believes that every headline he reads from Google is true.
Is that true, Gerard?
Certainly not, Joe. Like, Candace County, I can mention loads. I have documented
Joe,
that.
I'm going to end the conversation.
Yeah, there you can talk.
I don't want to get into a dispute with my brother on there. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
There's my fleshly brother who I love, and there he is. He's not allowed to talk to me.
But he said he doesn't.
There you have the evidence now, Joe.
Okay. Well, he's every right not to talk, you know, and he made that clear. And he's in full control. He is the phone line, and he put it down. But that's his wish.
Joe. We spoke about little children, right? Hmm. Little children don't have witnesses.
Okay, you made that point earlier.
Candace County, people should Google Candace County and the $66 million law case in Canada. And I have documented evidence on their own headed no paper where they cover up murderers.
Okay. I know you tried to talk to him there. When is the last time you spoke to your brother? You spoke to him. I don't mean communicate.
August, approximately.
And what was the occasion, can I ask?
I was getting married, and I invited him to my wedding.
Did you have a conversation with him?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, maybe in the future, Gerard. As you say, you love him dearly.
With all my heart, Joe, with all my heart. And I love his children, which we've never seen, never been to any of their weddings, never.
Okay. Gerard, I hope some, in terms of your relationship, I hope some sunshine comes into it very soon, because it does come across as being quite difficult at the moment. Okay, Gerard,
it's only media outlets. I'd like to thank you. It's only media outlets that can get this out in the open. That paedophiles are knocking on people's doors trying to
Gerard and Noel May, thank you both. 51551.